Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I am so happy and so pleased you decided to join me today, because with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I've started last week entitled Our Blood Covenant. We looked at the six principles of redemption that I shared with you, and then we went into the covenant promises that are afforded by the blood covenant. First of all was protection of the blood, that just as the children of Israel were spared the destroying angel by applying the blood to the doorposts of their homes, the angel of death passed over, so are we provided divine protection in our lives, in all realms, spiritually, physically, emotionally. The blood of Jesus covers us, cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And then we looked at another promise that was afforded by our blood covenant, and that is that we are justified. Romans 5 and 9 says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And that refers to the wrath that is going to be poured out upon this world and upon those who are rebellious and wicked and unrepentant. They will experience the wrath of God such as the world has never seen. That next judgment of the Lord upon the world will be that of fire. Remember with Noah, he promised that he would never again destroy the world by water, but many of the cultures and civilizations of the world have, as God dealt with every man, as we find out from Romans, even before Jesus came. I had a marvelous, I don't remember, it was years ago, I saw a video that declared that the Inuit Eskimos, I believe, in Alaska, there was actually revelations of God. There was they experienced the truth of the Savior. And much has been given to what we would call the primitive peoples of the earth, because God in every generation had those who were seeking Him. It was a limited revelation. In fact, I just heard something recently. The very first Native Americans who experienced the contact with the white Europeans, Columbus, that was down in the Caribbean islands in Florida, they actually had prophetic words about the men who were coming in three vessels. They were covered like turtles. That refers to the Spanish conquistadors. And they were going to have a greater revelation, understanding of the Creator God through the talking leaves, which reference the very Bible. The priest had the Bible of God. And so we see the very mercy of God reaching out to the nations of the world who had not had the gospel preached to them, but God was dealing with the righteous of every generation, those who had a heart after God, those who responded, as it says in Romans, mammoth is without excuse. Through the natural world, through the ways God was communicating with man, they sought after this God who formed the marvels and beauties of creation around them. So man is without excuse. So nonetheless, we see that there's a marvelous ways that God has dealt with man, and so much more excellently through the actual life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we were looking at the justification, the promise of the blood covenant that we receive through Jesus Christ. And we began to look at, in Leviticus, the 14th chapter, those verses 1 through 7, of some marvelous spiritual truths for our lives, and also a beautiful picture of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just quickly, I want to go through it. There were two birds, one was alive and one was killed as a sacrifice, representing the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. The priest had to go out outside of the camp to the leper. The leper, of course, represents mankind, the sinner who is excluded outside of the camp of Israel. Remember, if they had leprosy, they were not permitted to dwell with the people of God. So the priest had to go outside of the camp. Jesus suffered without the gates of Jerusalem, or outside the gates, as Hebrews 13 and 12 says. The cedar references the cross. The red cloth that the priest had to bring was a picture of the blood. There was hyssop, which is not very strong, but it is suitable for sprinkling. We see in Jeremiah that Jesus is the righteous branch, Jeremiah 23 and 5. And that second bird, one was sacrificed and one was released. The one that was released in the blood of the first was a beautiful symbol of the resurrected Christ, who sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat before the Father in heaven. It was done seven times, which is God's perfect number, representing completeness or perfection. And the blood was put into that running water. That was a shadow of the eternal Spirit. Hebrews 9 and 14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And we do know that throughout Scripture, water is one of the symbols or types, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that that water was running, it corresponds to the eternal. Let me just read verse 5 in chapter 14 of Leviticus. "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water." And then the leper is sprinkled seven times, is pronounced clean, and that living bird is then let loose, released into the open field. So the blood of the bird shed over the running water is the blood of Christ, who was offered to God, to the Father, through the eternal Spirit. And the Father agrees with the sacrifice of Christ. He's well pleased. And because of that, we as lepers, we as sinners, condemned before God, are then pronounced clean. We are justified. That's this promise through the blood covenant. We are justified before the very throne of God. But you know, the marvelous thing is God doesn't leave it there. Not only do we have protection, not only are we justified, he who began that good work in us is going to complete it. And so, thirdly, we want to look at another promise through the blood covenant, and that is sanctification. The verses that I shared in Leviticus, verses 14, 1 through 7, refers and speaks to the cleansing of the sinner or the leper. It's the sanctification process that is begun. The sinner is set apart and made clean. That is really what sanctification means, to be sanctified unto God, whether an individual or, for example, the objects of the tabernacle. They were sanctified. The priests had to be anointed and sanctified, set apart for the service of God. That's all that sanctified means, really, holy, to be consecrated unto God. And beloved, once God has done this, we once were sinners that were saved by grace, but now we are saints. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, something very fascinating. We see in verse 7 that bird, the bird that's living, is let loose. Jesus is now resurrected and living and sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, living to make intercession for us. But verse 8, it says, "He that is cleansed," that is the leper, "shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp. He shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. And on the seventh day he shall shave all his hair off of his head. He shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean." But notice what happens in verse 10. Let me read that. "And on the eighth day He shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What's going on here? He returns to his tent, and yet 7 days later, and notice that the person, he's no longer mentioned as a leper because he's clean, he returns to the priest for a further work of cleansing, if you will, or sanctification. And that 7 days, of course, God's perfect number, referring to completion or perfection. Jesus said, in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48, an amazing thing. And of course, God is not unrighteous. He would never ask anything of us if we were not able to complete or fulfill it, if we weren't able to obey Him. He said, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And while we will never achieve perfection in this physical body we have, at least in our spirit man and in our soul, we can strive for perfection. We can strive for the attributes of Jesus. We can walk all pleasing before the Lord because we've been cleansed, because we've been justified, because we've been sanctified, and we can put on that new man which is fashioned in Christ Jesus without sin, without carnality. If we walk in the flesh, in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, beloved, we have a tremendous prospect, a tremendous future ahead of us, even in this natural life. That work, beautiful work of cleansing and perfecting that God is doing. The blood of the trespass offering that is going, we'll look on tomorrow's broadcast, it's a sign of divine favor, and we're going to go into that tomorrow. I invite you to tune in. But for now, I must bring this broadcast to a close. The scriptures are so rich. I hope you're as excited as I am as you see the beautiful grace and mercy of our Father given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and that beautiful redemption work that was accomplished in our behalf. I love you. Thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, hey, and if you've got the ministering of the Holy Spirit to your heart, He's got a reason for doing it. Obey Him. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.